Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
2 seconds to go. Two-point game. You know the ball's going to go to Jimmy Butler somehow, some way. Over the top to Butler. Jimmy Butler ties the game with a half second to go. Jimmy Butler sending us to OT. Get the ball to Jimmy and get out the way time. Rises, fires, knocks it down.
Jimmy Buckets closing out the number one seed.
Whatever it takes to win, it could be 40, it could be 50. I got to be able to do it all.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
My goodness, there were some good games last night. Welcome to NBA Today. He's Kendrick Perkins. She is Roz Goldon. Woody joining us in studio. I'm Malika Andrews. Zach Lowe, Brian Windhorst, they are going to be with us in just a little bit. We have a lot to get to tonight. We have the Knicks advancing for the first time since 2012. We got the Grizzlies and the Warriors pushing to a game six. But we also need to start with the game of the night, the biggest story in the NBA, because did you guys see what Jimmy did to the Milwaukee Bucks? We're going to take you to Pfizer Forum right now where it all went down. Because, Perk, we were sitting here yesterday saying, you know what? This is going to be the game. The Bucks are going to take it. The momentum may or may not swing. Jimmy Butler had other plans. We're going to get to that play that you can see there in just a little bit. Entering the fourth quarter, Miami trailed by 16 points. And then behind Jimmy Butler, Perk, they came roaring back.
Absolutely. And look, getting to his spot, I was wondering when were the Bucks going to get out of their drop coverage. Never did. But this is what Jimmy Butler does so well right here. Cutting and moving without the basketball. Finishing around the basket. Mixing it up. Setting picks and diving in the paint. And then letting them know about it.
Chirping there to Drew Holiday. Once again, elevates, hits the three, gets it to go. Tied up now at 111. And then four-point game. Milwaukee up. Miami comes back the other way. Gabe Vincent hits the three. Tough bucket with 8.4 left. One-point game at this point. And then again, just a little bit of sloppy basketball here by Miami. Initially, that foul was called against Lowry. It would be reversed. We have a jump ball. Giannis saying, I don't want it. He doesn't want to be fouled in that moment. Chris Middleton saves it. So the Bucks, they get an opportunity here. One more look at this. Chris Middleton diving into the scorer's table to make sure it stays in bounds and gets to Drew Holiday. And then 2.1 seconds left here. Miami has an opportunity to tie the game. Looking, finds Jimmy Butler. Was it a push? Well, the refs weren't going to call it that. Jimmy Butler wanted this moment. He wanted the play. And Eric Spoelstra explained exactly how it came to fruition. As Jimmy says, let me hear you to the Milwaukee crowd.
We've practiced, you know, a variation of that play with a bunch of different guys. And I was going to do a different version of it, and he just said, no, let me be that guy. And I just said, okay, but what if we can't get that pass? And he said, I'll get it. Don't worry about it.
That's what you say to me, Perk. I'll get it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
and Jimmy Butler said, I'm him. I got you. Even though he doesn't want to be referred to as Himmy Butler, he was making Himmy Butler moves.
Ooh, beautiful. Getting to the stare down to Drew Holiday.
Giannis gets the rebound. Bucks down two. Final seconds. Should he call a timeout, Mike Budenholzer? What about here? Maybe here. What about now when Grayson Allen has the ball? Grayson Allen driving, tries to get a shot off. And the Miami Heat walk away with the win.
They take home with you.
Let's take a listen to Eric Spoelstra after the game.
My teammates, they need me to be that way right now. I will continue to be that way right now. Whatever it takes to win, it could be 40, it could be 50, it could be 0 and 12 assists. I got to be able to do it all.
I've said a lot about how I feel about Jimmy. You know, he is us and we are him. And I just respect him so much as being such a unique world-class elite competitor. You know, a lot of guys play the game of basketball in this league. He competes to win. That's a different language. And he's desperate and urgent and maniacal and sometimes psychotic about the will to try to win. And he'll make everybody in the building feel it. And that's why he is us and we are him. That's the way we operate as well. And sometimes the psychotic meets the psychotic.
The psychotic meets the psychotic. Well, I don't know about that, but playoff Jimmy fully activated in the last two games to close out the Bucks. He scored 98 points over the final two games of the series, making him the first Heat player with back-to-back 40-point games, playoff games, that is. He's the fifth player in NBA postseason history to score at least 98 points over a two-game span. And the first since Michael Jordan, you may have heard of that guy, in 1993. So there's so much to get into in all of this, Roz and Perk. We will, but I want to stick to the Heat side of this first. What stood out to you about Miami, Perk?
If we do the unthinkable, would it make us look crazy?
Okay.
If you ask me, I'm ready.
Okay.
And that's exactly what Jimmy Buckets was doing. Was ready. Ready for the moment, and he capitalized in great fashion. When you think about what he did, and it wasn't what he did, it was how he did it. Taking on the number one seed, Drew Holiday talking smack. He actually posted pictures of deers like it was hunting season and went out and delivered in great fashion. When you look at what he did in game four, dropping 56 with that huge comeback last night, taking over the fourth quarter, and then he letting Drew Holiday know about it. Like, this is one of the best perimeter defenders, if not in the NBA. When I look at the performance he had this series, it is one of the greatest performances in NBA history. Averaging a 38-piece throughout the series to knock off the Bucks. And you said it last night. You tweeted it last night. The first play-in team to ever advance in the first in the playoffs?
Yep.
Come on now. What are we talking about?
And, you know, as a group of media, people are feeling really stunned or shocked about the Bucks, you know, being eliminated so early. But if you ask the Heat, they're not surprised at all. I've been on the court and covering them all season long. I actually spoke to Spo at the end of the season, and he said, we are a dangerous team. If you look at our record and you think that's who we are, you are going to be surprised in a terrible way. And it wasn't just about Jimmy. You talk about Jimmy being ready. The bench was ready,
right?
Like, Spo told me, we have X factors. The word he used was ignitable players. Don't let Max Strus or Kyle Lowry or Duncan Robinson see the ball go through the net a few times. Gabe Vincent was big last game. So all those guys stepped up to support the heroic performance we saw from Jimmy Butler. So that team been dangerous, and the Heat are certainly not surprised about what they just accomplished.
The Heat was turned all the way up, and they were cooking, because you mentioned the bench. When we saw Tyler Hero get hurt, it was sort of like, okay, how much life is that going to take out of Miami? It wasn't a whole lot, particularly when you get 42-8-4 from Jimmy Butler. That's tied for the most points in a series-clinching win in Heat playoff history. But then there's the other side of all of this. So let's take a listen to head coach Mike Budenholzer on the end of regulation and overtime for the Bucks.
You had a timeout with half a second left and you didn't call it. What was the thought process there?
Yeah, we need to call a timeout there.
And then in overtime, I know you like to play without calling the timeout. Was there any part of that possession where you thought maybe we're not getting something, we need to take a timeout?
No. Giannis attacked. Giannis got the ball to Chris. Chris attacked. You know, that's how we always play. It's been very good for us. And, you know, we weren't able to convert it tonight.
Would you have liked to have defended Jimmy more one-on-one?
Yes. Out of respect, you gotta let the coach, you know, make the adjustment. And we have our best defender on him. But obviously this conversation with Drew, whenever he gets tired, I can, you know, take him. But he's so competitive, plays so hard, and he wanted to take the challenge. But at the end of the day, I wish I could guard him more, for sure.
Welcoming in our senior writer, Zach Lowe, into the conversation, because, Zach, I'm flabbergasted. I mean, still this morning, the lack of timeouts, the fact that the Bucks led by double digits entering the fourth last two games, right? And then the Heat had lost. The Heat had lost 51 straight games when they entered the fourth trailing by double digits, and then they just won twice in a row. Can you help me here? How did this happen?
Can I help you?
Please.
No, I need someone to help me. Look, when a number one seed at home with a two-time MVP facing elimination loses a 16-point lead in 12 minutes or less, two things happen. The trailing team plays its butts off, and you guys covered that. We might never see a player play a series any better than Jimmy Butler just did on both ends of the floor. But the leading team also collapses, and there's just no way to sugarcoat it. This was a complete collapse from the Milwaukee Bucks on offense, and it's the kind of loss that you're never the same after. The Bucks will never be the same again after coming apart like this. To not call a timeout at the end of regulation, to not get a shot off at the end of the game, to hot potato the ball out of bounds because you don't want to get fouled and almost throw your season away in the process. Giannis fouled Max Strus on a three-point shot when the Bucks were still within two. We didn't even show that. The shot selection down the stretch in the half court is a movie that we've seen before. The letting Jimmy Butler go off without double teaming him, without adjusting, without doing very much in the way of adjustments, it's a movie we've seen before. This is a reckoning for the Bucks. Mortality comes for you fast in the NBA. Chris Middleton has a player option. He's 32. Brooke Lopez is a free agent. He's 35. Jrue Holiday will be extension eligible next season. He's 32. There's not a lot of young talent in the pipeline. This is an all-time jaw on the floor stretch of basketball from the Bucks last night. There's just no other way to put it.
You just touched on it, so I do want to bring Brian Windhorst into the conversation because the consequences can extend so far beyond just this game, Brian. What's next for this Milwaukee Bucks team? Oh, it looks like, Brian, we might have to wait a little bit longer just as he deals with his microphone. But, Roz, when you look at the future for Milwaukee here, what do you see?
Well, I see a Milwaukee team that, you know, has all their eggs in this basket. And for me, as somebody who was like on sidelines for this series and covering it, I mean, I was actually on my way to going to Miami to work game six. Jimmy put an end to that, and I'm glad to be here with you guys today.
We are too.
But I was really just focusing, I was compelled by the matchup between Jimmy Butler and Jrue Holiday. And there was a lot of familiarity in that matchup, and Jrue is certainly an excellent defender. It wasn't for a lack of effort, but it seemed like they really had each other's card, and that didn't work out for Jrue. It was Jimmy's advantage. So in speaking with Jrue, he understood that it was Jimmy was going to get to the basket, that he was going to get to the free throw line. He even said he admitted that Jimmy was stronger, that he could cut in front and behind him. And for me, like, you hear at the end of the game on this play that set the game to overtime, Jimmy had familiarity and the ability to anticipate and predict what was coming from Jrue Holiday. He said he wasn't going to shoot the gap, that he was going to get physicality. And therefore, he knew that Jrue was going to be trailing him if he was able to turn the corner. So he was able to call and ask for that play, and that ability to feel comfortable within a matchup that is tough was bad for the Bucks. And usually you see a star player, they said, we're going to throw different bodies on you, keep him uncomfortable, show him crowds and bodies. A lot of times, Jrue was one-on-one in a situation where Jimmy's on a heater. He played 47 minutes last game. Plus, he's got to run your offense on the other side. I think fatigue could have been a factor, too.
Let's zoom back out. Brian, I understand that your mic may be working now. What do you think this all means for Milwaukee?
Well, they were facing a very difficult situation this summer, even if they had won the title, because they have, as Zach mentioned, they have guys in their 30s who need to get paid, and they have Giannis, who's in his 20s, who has a contract extension situation. I think it is unlikely that Giannis extends his contract this summer. He does have 2 years left, but with everything that's going on with the team, and considering that there is new ownership, that makes it very difficult. And the Bucks are headed into the repeater tax. This is what happens to teams that are contenders year over year, and they spend. So everything on this team is about to get more expensive. Plus, we have new rules coming in that is going to limit the way they can improve this roster going forward. They are a late-stage contender with a superstar in his 20s.
Right.
And Malika, there are teams in this league watching very closely to see what happens with the Bucks this summer, notwithstanding a decision potentially on Mike Budenholzer.
Right, because all in all, Milwaukee fell short. That's just what it is at the end of the day. It's short of what we all sort of expected from what we've seen from the Bucks all year long. But Giannis gave a really insightful answer when the Athletic's Eric Name asked him how he's judging this team's success. Take a listen.
Do you view this season as a failure?
God. Okay, because I'm not that up. You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay. Do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, I don't know, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success, you know? And if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So there's always steps to it, you know? Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championships. The other 9 years was a failure? That's what you're telling me? No, I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Okay, exactly. So why are you asking me that question? It's a wrong question. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful. Some days you're not. Some days it's your turn. Some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports is about. You don't always win. Some other people's going to win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, try to play better, not have a 10-day stretch with playing bad basketball, you know, and hopefully we can win a championship. So 50 years from 1971 to 2021 that we didn't win a championship, it was 50 years of failures? No, it was not. It was steps to it, you know, and we were able to win one, hopefully we win another one.
Perf, your reaction.
My reaction is that, are we serious right now? Is Giannis serious right now? This was a complete failure by the Milwaukee Bucks. You were the number one seed, the best team in the league, the favorites to win it all, and you lost to the 8 seed who got in through the play-in tournament, who's missing their third best player in Tyler Hero. Also, Victor Oladipo went out. So when I think about it and I'm looking across social media, I'm seeing everybody saying, oh yeah, Giannis, right on. Preach, he's the prime example of what we need as the face of the league. I love this for life. Well, we're talking about sports. Sports is about competing. And when you have expectations and you don't come close to reaching those expectations, you fail. And there's no other way around it. If it was any other player in LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, that had the number one seed with the best team and got upset by the 8 seed, we would be having a different conversation no matter what he said at the podium. So I look at Giannis and, oh, he's the good guy. But was he the good guy when he was making a joke about KD, saying about leading the team and he'll show him? And I know it was comedy, but sometimes the truth lies inside of jokes. So at the end of the day, I'm not buying that. And nobody else should be buying that. And we shouldn't be, way to go, Giannis, on that speech. I'm not rolling.
We're going to get back to this a little bit later in the show because there's a lot there. I appreciate the response from Giannis. I appreciate the question from Eric. But we have so many games to get to here on NBA Today, including, I mean, Ja Morant and Desmond Bane. They kept their playoff hopes alive last night. Joined some elite company along the way. Find out what they did. That's coming up next. Plus, we are going to stick in the West because the Dubs, they got a much needed. And where did they win, Perk? Was it at home?
No.
Oh, no, sir. It was on the road for the Bay Area. So are they going to close out in 6? I know Perk has some thoughts on that one. And say it with me. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Come on, Perk. I know you got that rhythm.
Orange and blue sky.
The Knicks advance. We discuss. NBA Today will be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
WNBA player Brittany Griner is being detained in Russia.
We will not stop hoping for the day when we can welcome her home safely.
We are BG. I'm
coming. Brittany Griner on her way home back to the United States.
It's just a happy day for me and my family, so I'm going to smile right now.
I want to thank everyone. It feels so good to be here. Let's keep fighting to bring home every American still detained overseas.
1 year ago at this time, Brittany Griner had been wrongfully detained in Russia for over 2 months with little hope or information on when she might return to the United States. And throughout our coverage of Griner's detainment, which ended up lasting over 9 months, we often shared how many days Griner had been detained. But today, on her 140th day back home, Griner spoke for the first time.
First off, I just thank y'all for covering me and all the exposure that you gave me, my family, to get me home. I really appreciate it. That coverage was much needed. I would like to encourage all of you to be at our first game as well. You know, I'm no stranger to hard times, so. See, you cried and you made me cry. Just digging deep, honestly, you know, you're going to be faced with adversities throughout your life. This was a pretty big one.
What were the emotions like the first time you got your hands on a basketball again and getting back on the court?
So, the first time I had a basketball in my hand actually was in San Antonio. It was good. It was good. I got some shots up. I mean, I was in some chucks. So I was in some low top chucks, you know, just I was outside and, you know, like real, I thought I was like 16 again. I mean, my ankles did not like it, but it was good. I threw it down just to see, you know, I was like, let me just see if I can still throw this thing down. And I did. You have to ask. That's a good question for my wife. Ask her how it felt getting dunked on. Oops. Did I say that? Did I say that out loud?
Welcoming in our NBA and WNBA analysts and reporters, Roz Goldunwoode joining us once again, and Andrea Carter making her NBA Today debut. And Andrea, I want to start with you. Griner, I mean, clearly full of gratitude, understandably emotional at times. We heard her laugh a little too. What did she say, though, about when she actually is going to be getting on the court again?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Malika, and hey, Roz. Hey. And it was so special to hear from BG, and you mentioned her bright energy, but she talked a lot about the journey getting back to the court. And one thing that she said that really resonated with me a little bit is, as an athlete, you always want to build off of your last performance. You know, you want to pick up where you left off. And for BG, that was in 2021 when she was playing in the WNBA Finals against Chicago, when she was averaging 21 points and 9.5 rebounds. So she talked about how hard it was to resist the urge to want that version of herself back immediately. She said there were some really hard times on the court, but she said she's felt like she turned a corner, and it's been so great and liberating, is what she said, to get back to her craft and working on her craft. And you all know how Perk was just singing Unthinkable by Alicia Keys. She's already done. Brittany Griner has already done the unthinkable in coming back this season. So it was really special to hear her talk about that journey to getting back to her craft and being that dominant player that she is.
Andrea, thank you so much. And Roz, I mean, returning to the court, it also means returning to her team, the Phoenix Mercury. How is this experience shaping them, shaping this group?
Yeah, last season I was sideline reporting a lot for the WNBA and covered the Mercury, and it was so heavy, Malika. It was much more than just basketball. Her teammates, you know, carried the burden of having to answer about Brittany Griner. They really were having political discussions while BG was existing in unimaginable realities over in Russia.
Right.
You know, that they also had a brand new head coach in Vanessa Nygaard. So, you know, most coaches are just trying to get their plays in. Mm. She's navigating an international, you know, travesty. There were public tensions between Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith. There were injuries. Mm-hmm. There was just so much to navigate that was heavy on the season. And I expect this year it'll continue to be heavy, but in a different way. Like, yeah. BG's got a book coming out. She's going to have to talk about her experience, and she's going to have to figure out how to come back after 10 months off from the game. But you saw in the press conference, she was laughing, she was crying, there's a lot of emotions. I truly hope that they can somehow channel that into something usable for the team and then fight for the joy, protect BG in this time. But, you know, the Mercury last season and this season will have to wear the burden of doing more than just playing basketball simply because the situation right. is what it is, not to mention security issues around the game, because this brings up a lot of emotion around the world.
Mm. Well, and another thing that Brittany Griner mentioned in her news conference today was whether or not she plans to play overseas in the future, something that we see a lot of WNBA athletes do. And she said that she has no plans to do so, completely understandably, after this experience that she has had. Still to come, though, on NBA Today, we're heading back to New York. I'm not going to sing it in Alicia Keys' voice. I feel like Perk already handled that for us. But round two is set. So will it be orange and blue skies, baby, as Stephen A. would say? That was my best Stephen A. Perk wow. makes his pick in this series. Plus, the Warriors and the Lakers, they are one win away from advancing. So which series is going to go to seven? Our panel dives in ahead of tomorrow's games. And newly crowned Rookie of the Year, Paolo Banchero, he is joining the show. High expectations for him heading into next year. All that and more. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're watching NBA Today.
Let's take a look at what's going on in the West, starting with the Lakers and the Grizzlies, because Ja Morant and company came roaring back, Kendrick Perkins, to make this a 3-2 series.
They absolutely did, and I thought they did a great job of actually pushing the pace. The Lakers could not keep up, but look at Ja Morant, just relentless to the offensive glass, best offensive rebounding guard in the league.
It looked like his hand was potentially bothering him a little bit less. The Lakers, though, mounted a little bit of a comeback here when Anthony Davis was on the floor, 3-point game at this point. But then Memphis, once again, just had an answer for everything, it felt like. Ja gets the roll.
He says he's too small. D'Angelo Russell got to do better defensively. But I just thought the Grizzlies, they felt off. They was off the crowd of the home crowd, and they had the energy. That's why they was live in the arena.
So it's a 1-point game, and Anthony Davis heads to the bench. He had 31 points, 19 rebounds, and yet not in the game. So Jaren Jackson Jr. goes to work here, blows a kiss to the crowd. Once again, the Grizzlies get fight for the board. Xavier Tillman dishes it back out. Desmond Bane, you cannot leave that man in the corner like that.
Absolutely. And Tillman has been huge, especially at home, attacking the glass, and great find by him.
It just felt like a little, too late when Anthony Davis came back into the game. Memphis gets the win, 116-99. So the series now shifts back to Los Angeles. In game five, it flipped when AD went to the bench. 4 minutes, 10 seconds to go.
That was in the third quarter. Then the Grizzlies led 75-74, ended the quarter on a 19-2 run, and that all but ended the game, right? Let's keep it pushing to the Golden State Warriors because championships are in their DNA. Steph Curry getting set in Golden 1 Arena. But we were a little bit concerned here, Roz, because this is on the road where the Warriors have not been good here. Draymond Green came off the bench once again.
Yeah, I felt like this win was a significant one for the rest of the series. And if they advance, take them all the way on a nice run in playoffs. They needed this identity, confidence building win on the road.
1 point game, Steph Curry. Davion Mitchell, by the way, has done a fantastic job all series long. It is exhausting, I imagine, to guard Steph Curry. Klay coming off the screen, finds his spot, elevates over Sabonis. It felt like game six Klay arrived a little bit early.
Everybody was chipping in. It was Klay, it was Wiggins, it was Draymond, it was rebounds from Looney, it was Steph with the dagger, and it wasn't about a flurry of threes. These were tough half-court execution plays from a team with championship experience.
I will say on the Kings side, though, one of the reasons why it was so close late for Sacramento is the effort of Malik Monk. He was just everywhere for them, but Andrew Wiggins elevates, gets it to go. 5 point game. Once again, Malik finds Sabonis for the slam. 3 point game. This is when I'm biting my nails just a little bit, but putting Keegan Murray in a spin cycle, this would all but do it. And just for good measure, Steph Curry gets to his spot, looking, lobs it up and in, and one. That would be the game, and Steph lets the crowd know it. So the Warriors' championship DNA was on full display, right, down the stretch of game five. Helped them pull off a crucial road win. Golden State has won a road game in 28 straight playoff series. That extends the longest streak by any team in NBA history. But it all boils down to this, as I'm rejoined by our full panel here. The Grizzlies, they win, they force a game six. The Warriors, they are one win away from advancing. So, Perk, I'm going to start with you here. We heard Roz say that she thinks the Warriors may get this done in six. Which series is going to seven?
Neither. We won't have a game seven. Matter of fact, I'm tapping out on the Kings. Last night, what I witnessed out of the Golden State Warriors, they snatched their souls. And I can't say enough about six-man Draymond Green. Coming in off the bench, it has been huge, and it's actually benefiting the Warriors. 21 points last night? And then when I think about Looney, can we talk about him anchoring that defense on the glass, basically just manhandling Sabonis, letting him know that there's levels to this, and Steph Curry and Klay with their shot making. And I thought Andrew Wiggins all night long did a nice job of hounding De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is talented enough that he's going to get his, but I'm waving the white flag. I'm tapping out.
All right, so you're going Warriors in six, Lakers in six. Yeah. Brian, where are we going for you?
Yeah, I like both teams' chances to close out in six at home, but I think the Lakers are in a little bit more tenuous position. Malika, sometimes we say LeBron looks like he's 28, not 38. Last night he looked 38, and they've got a real tough turnaround. They didn't get back to L.A. until 1 this morning. Very little time to rest. And look, the Grizzlies figured something out last night. Taylor Jenkins took Dylan Brooks out, put in Luke Kennard. It changed the spacing. Kennard was plus 26. I think you'll see that if Kennard's healthy. He did have a shoulder stinger, but if Kennard's healthy, I think you'll see that, and it might be a wrinkle that allows the Grizzlies, who are much younger, to have maybe a little bit of an edge coming back to L.A.
Well, LeBron did take responsibility for that. He said, I played like a word I can't say on TV, but he vowed to be better in Game 6, and they're going to need to be because they do not want to go back to Memphis for a Game 7. Added miles, you just don't want that. But it all goes down tomorrow night right here on ESPN and the ESPN app. We have Kings Warriors. That's at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, and then the Grizz and the Lakers. Golden State and LA, both up 3-2, looking to close it out. Who is going to get it done? NBA Countdown gets it all started at 7 o'clock Eastern. All right, it's almost time, New York fans. You've waited patiently. The Knicks, they are moving on. So we're going to take a first look at
Knicks
Heat series game one. It gets started on Sunday. More NBA today after
and
this.
And I say that word, you'll get called the principal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The Knicks giving them cavalier treatment.
For the first time in 10 years, Knicks are in the second round of the playoffs. An amazing bounce back season continues.
We get to play more basketball. Whenever we do that, this is another opportunity to get better and move forward and continue to see where we can go.
Whoa! One down, two more to go. A big finals, baby. A big finals. Go, New York. Go, New York.
The Knicks advanced to the second round for the first time since 2013, and Vegas has them favored in their matchup with the Heat. The Knicks won three of four meetings during the regular season, but all four games were decided by 9 or less points here. So the Knicks, they haven't made the Eastern Conference Finals since 2000. That was when Aaliyah's Try Again was the number one song. Gladiator, it topped the box office. So, Brian, what's it going to take for the Knicks to get back there? Do you think they can?
Well, they are waking up today, Malika, with home court advantage in this round. Not having home court in the first round, home court in the second round, we do not see that off. We could see it in the West, too, with Golden State. The most important thing in the short term is Julius Randle's ankle. He really didn't have a very effective series against the Cavs other than in the first game. Re-sprained it last night. His health is going to be very important. But if you watch this Knicks team, they dominated every single matchup and every single phase of that series with the Cavs, and I don't think they played their best basketball. Emmanuel quickly didn't shoot the ball that well. Quentin Grimes got injured. Jalen Brunson was very effective, but at moments where he wasn't that efficient. Josh Hart suffered a sprained ankle. They can actually take their game to another level, and the chance to get to start this at home, even though the Heat are a team that is very experienced, the way that they dominated the Cavs rebounding the ball, the window is there for them to do it again to the Heat if the Heat aren't more prepared than Cleveland.
Perk, I want to get your response to what you think is going to happen in this series, but I also want to give you your flowers because I think you saw this coming. You called it. This was back before the All-Star break. This is what you tweeted. This was January. I'm legit worried about the Cavs. They're going to win regular season games because they have a lot of talent, but their inconsistency on both ends of the floor is going to be the reason they're going to be a first-round exit. Carry the hell on. So safe to say you're not surprised, just disappointed. And what do you think of this Knicks Heat matchup?
Well, two things. I'm proud of myself for actually writing that tweet. I mean, typing out that tweet, correct grammar.
Yeah, no
board.
Typos.
Secondly, I appreciate the flowers, but I love food. and third, I saw it coming. Let me explain why. I criticized Evan Mobley on our show, and I told the Cavs needed more out of him. What people were on me about, oh, what you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. He got exposed. Also, what I saw out of the Cavs was I saw Donovan Mitchell dominating the ball, taking a lot of shots, which took away from the growth of everybody else. And when you're going into the postseason, you got to have everybody feeling confident. I didn't see that in Jared Allen. I didn't see that in Evan Mobley. Darius Garland at times took over, but eventually this team had become the Donovan Mitchell show. And you're not going to win like that when the team doesn't have confidence. So what ended up happening is that the Knicks end up punching them in the mouth. They got physical with them. That was the most important thing because the Knicks didn't shoot the ball well. Mm. They just got physical and junked the game up. And that's what ended up happening, you know. But I like when I'm right.
I like when you're right, too, yeah. Kendrick Perkins. I really do. I appreciate being able to give you your flowers, and I'll text Fixins and make sure we can get you a plate. Yeah. All right, coming up here on NBA Today, we have a very special guest joining us, Paolo Banchero. He will be joining the show after the break.
I'm Paolo Banchero, and you're watching NBA Today.
With the first pick, the Orlando Magic select Paolo Banchero from Duke University.
3, 2, 1, test complete.
Banchero to the rack. Muscles it in. Banchero way up and throws it down.
That was a terrific pass.
Banchero throws it down. Fager back to Paolo. That is brilliant. So smooth.
What's up, Magic fans? It's P5. Just got Rookie of the Year announced. Really can't believe it, man. I just want to say thank you to all the fans, all the support this year. You guys was real ones all year. Next year, big things is coming, man. This ain't the finish.
We now welcome in the 2023 Rookie of the Year, Paolo Banchero. Paolo, it's always good to have you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Malika. Thank you for having me on here.
Absolutely. Is the bling around your neck what you did to celebrate? What did you do to celebrate the award?
Just have my family out here, friends out here, mom and dad, sister made the trip. So just spending time with them and just kind of reminiscing on, you know, the past year. It's been crazy.
It has been. As you look back on this past year, what is the single thing that you were most proud of in your rookie season?
I think for me, just the amount we were able to improve as a team, just to be a part of that and just see the growth that we had throughout the season and then just have a level of consistency. I think for me, obviously, there was a lot I feel like I could have done better, but just kept a solid level of consistency throughout the year. And so I'm proud of myself for that.
I got to say, when I look back on your rookie year, one thing that stands out is you let it go right out of the gates. I mean, I'm talking about that dunk over Corey Joseph. How did that set the tone in your very first game for just the rest of the year?
Yeah, for me, that set the tone. Just, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to come out in that first game and have a strong showing, you know, send a message and be able to build upon it. You know, part of that was just helping build my confidence, you know, just showing everybody what I could do. Obviously, being the number one pick, it was a lot of expectations, a lot of things people expected out of me. And I just wanted to live up to it and exceed it and put on a show as well.
Let's talk about this year's number one pick, because the Magic have the sixth best odds to land the number one pick, who we all expect, right, to be Victor Wembanyama. What would adding a talent like that do to this team?
I mean, if we were able to add that guy, I think it would take this team to another level. That guy's a player who I don't think many people have seen before in terms of the height, the skill, the movements, just how he's able to move at that size. It really don't make sense when you watch it. So, you know, whatever team that gets him is going to be lucky. But, you know, if we get him, I think it's going to cause a lot of problems for this league.
Well, especially when you consider the fact that you're 8 top scorers on this Magic team. They're all 25 or younger. So when we look at the future of the league, when we look at who has the brightest futures in this league, where would you put your Orlando Magic team?
Yeah, I think we're right there at the top. Having that confidence in the next year, I mean, sky's the limit for us. Like you said, everyone's young, everyone's hungry. I don't think anyone outside of a couple guys who are older have experienced the playoffs and what that's like. So we're hungry to get there. That's what we want. You know, a lot of expectations for year two, but it's just going to bring the best out of us.
You mentioned the playoffs, and Jamal Mosley has done so many great things with this group. But one thing that I thought was really interesting that he did is last season he brought young players to the playoffs to experience that environment, to sit in the stands, to feel the crowd, to feel the energy, to feel that intensity. What plans do you have, if any, to sort of soak in what's happening right now, even though you're not a part of it on the floor, to better prepare yourself for the goals next season?
Yeah, me and Mullah's already been talking about what games we want to go to, what series we're thinking about heading to. I know I got invited to the NBA Finals, so I plan to accept that and definitely check that out. You watch the playoffs and immediately, I mean, you can tell it's just a different brand of basketball. It's a lot slower, a lot more physical, a lot more intense. The crowd, the opponents, you know, jawing back and forth, like everything's just heightened to another level. You know, we got to get there. We got to earn our spot and get there. It's not going to be easy. No team is going to lay down and hand it to us. Definitely want to make them playoffs. That's the biggest thing for us. And I think we can do it, too. We just got to stay together and, you know, be locked in.
Stay together. You set the expectations high with that dunk in your first game last season. Can't wait to see what you do next season. Paolo, thank you so much for spending some time with us on NBA Today, and we'll see you at the finals.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me on here.
I'm still. My apologies.
Paolo was the number one pick in last year's NBA draft. Find out who goes first in the NFL draft tonight. We'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It also is available on the NFL Network, and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey. 3 days live on Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the app. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds. Oh, I remember
that's
the We Believe
minute, right?
teams. That, good job.
Do you view this season as a failure?
Oh my God.
Every year you work towards something, towards a goal. It's not a failure, it's steps to success. There's always steps to it. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful, some days you're not. Some days it's your turn, some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports about. You don't always win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Similar as that, we're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits. Hopefully, we can win a championship.
So the Bucks are just the latest one seed to fall to an eight seed. The first was the 1994 Sonics, who got taken out by Dikembe Mutombo's 6 blocks per game in the series. The Nuggets entered the series as plus 1,400 to win. And the next is the 99 Knicks. They take down the Heat in the lockout shortened season. Allen Houston made the game winner in the final seconds to stamp the victory. New York lost in the finals that year. And then it's the We Believe Warriors. They took down the 67-win Mavericks in that 2007 first round, and of course we got the Dirk chair. That legend went down in that one. And then in 2011, the Grizzlies, they were able to take advantage of the Spurs in the paint behind Zach Randolph, Mark Gasol in the first round. Huge moment for the Grizzlies, winning their first playoff series in team history. And then the next year, the 76ers, they defeated the Bulls in the first round. That was after Derrick Rose tore his ACL in game one. Jrue Holiday led the Sixers in scoring during that series with 18 per game. But Jrue, of course, was on the flip side this time. The Bucks fell to Jimmy Butler. He willed Miami to victory. Butler averaged over 37 points, and the Heat move on.
Oh, hostile.
For the sixth time, the Heat and Knicks are going to face off in a playoff series. They played four straight years, 1997 to 2000. All four series, they went the distance. The Heat won the most recent meeting in 2012 in 5 games. So, Kendrick Perkins, we've talked a lot about the Bucks. We've talked a lot about Giannis's really interesting sound from last night. I don't fully agree with you. I see where you're coming from on it being a failure in terms of what they set out to do. But what I appreciated was that Giannis, it made me think a little bit, right, about my own failures, what you set out for, all of that in life. So I thought that was really interesting. But for you, Perk, I know you are already having your sights set on the next series.
Yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Bucks are going to do. Okay, they're not going to trade Giannis, obviously, or Jrue Holiday, or Chris Middleton, or Bobby Portis. They should re-sign Brooke Lopez. Is it a time for a new leader? A leadership change? Like, Budenholzer dropped the ball a lot throughout this series. We should have called timeouts. He should have made adjustments. He didn't. I wonder what the Bucks go do. I know what I would do.
I think I know what you would do as well. That's going to do it for us today. We have some exciting games tomorrow. We have Hawks and the Celtics going down tonight.
Celtics better not lose tonight.
We'll see you tomorrow.